When we honor, like when there's an atmosphere of honor in our home, in our relationships, in our workplaces, right. In our schools, yeah. That actually unleashes, it creates this environment where the Holy Spirit's quite at home.
Right.
And when he's quite at home is when he does his best work.
That's right. And I think for that to happen, we have to make a choice to choose honor, because mm-hmm. honor is not a feeling you have. It's going to be a choice you make, a commitment you make mm-hmm. towards the other person.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Julie Mullins, and my husband Todd and I pastor Christ Fellowship Church together. The So Good Sisterhood podcast is all about investing in every girl from every generation to live intentionally, lead confidently, and love generously. And hopefully, it will leave you saying, "That was so good." Well, hey, everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. We are so honored that you're joining us today. And I'm really excited because today we have our very first ever So Good Sisterhood and Crewcast collaboration
hey,
podcast.
Hey, guys.
It's going to be amazing. That's right. I've got my favorite pastor, actually my favorite human
in the studio
today. Todd's joining me, and we're really excited about jumping into this conversation today. But before we jump in, I just feel like I have to set the record straight on something, because Todd, you preached an incredible Easter message
Thank you.
A lot of people a couple weeks ago, but you told the story, and there were a couple of things that I really didn't get to weigh in on. It was our engagement story.
Okay.
So just kind of a recap,
right?
You know,
I remember
Todd and I dated off and on all the way through high school, right? So definitely more off than on. Went our separate ways for college, and Todd comes home on a winter break.
Yeah.
And
I just knew, like, at the end of that break, I'm like, I've got to marry her. Like, I don't need to talk about it. We didn't talk about it.
I
went out and bought a ring.
We weren't holding hands.
No. We weren't dating.
For 18 anything. Months, we had just written a few letters back and forth, right?
Yeah. But we had just spent the last couple weeks
together
a lot, hanging out, playing tennis, going to movies, eating out. It was fun.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
great.
So I'm getting ready to head back to Indiana, the cold, frigid North Midwest, and I'm like, I gotta let her know how I'm feeling, and I want to make sure nobody else moves in on my girl. So I went out and bought a ring, and got down on one knee and popped the question.
And I was like, no way. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Are you joking? And then you added this little part. You said that, but when she grabbed me and she kissed me, I was like, babe, that didn't happen.
In my memory, it did.
It was not how it happened.
Okay.
I did not grab you. You know, finally you said, hey,
wanted to grab me.
No. I said, finally, you said, can I kiss you? And that's when I gave in.
Right.
And we always, you know, joke, the part of the story we don't tell very often is that as soon as the initial shock wore off and I broke up with the other guy that I was kind of in an on again, off again relationship with, you know, I said yes.
And which is kind of your thing, I guess.
Right? I guess.
I'm glad.
But hey, we've had a great run so far. But we're excited about today's podcast because we're going to be jumping into a conversation that is really important. We actually speak on this often and preach on this often because it's such a critical subject for us as followers of Jesus. But, you know, we kicked off the year this year, and our word for the year is the word encounter. And we've been praying that we would have an encounter with Jesus that would mark us in such a way that our lives would be changed, our families would be changed, that our church would be changed, right?
Yeah.
Marked by an encounter of the Holy Spirit that is going to change, radically change our lives. And today we're going to be jumping into encountering Jesus through relationships, through the people that he has put in our lives to grow us and to change us and to mark us, right?
Yep.
So we talk about this often. I'd love for you to just share a little bit. Why do you think this is such an important, you know, really discussion to have?
Well, it's important to start by going, God is a relational God. Mm-hmm. When you think about God, God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit, three in one, he is a relational God. And we have been created in his image and created for relationship. When you think about when God created Adam and Eve, he created them to be in relationship together, to walk together in the garden, to know him, to be known by him. And so, like, down in our DNA, it is hardwired within us that we are made for relationships. We're hardwired for relationships. And to the point that when our relationships are good, life is good. Like, there can be things that are bad, but when Like, I know between you and me, when this is good, like when you and I are good, yeah, we're good. A lot of other things could be pressing in on us. But if this ever gets bad or gets a little wonky or a little off, man, it doesn't matter how good everything else can be. This isn't good. Yeah. And I think most of us down deep, we know that we've been wired this way. And then you just go to the scripture, Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, parents and kids get together and work together and live together in unity, for there the Lord commands a blessing. There's just a blessing that comes when our relationships are right. And that blessing is commanded by God over our lives. And I think as we're jumping into this, what we really want is everybody to be able to experience God's blessing in the relationship. So no matter what relationship, what we're going to talk about has a lot to do with, you know, husbands and wives or maybe parents and kids, but really regardless of the relationship, what we want is God's blessing in that relationship.
Yeah. When you think about it, our greatest joys in life, like you think about the time when you've said, it just doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah.
You probably weren't by yourself.
Yeah,
you were with someone, right? Or the times when things can't be any worse than they are right now. You know, that probably there was somebody involved with the problem that you're having. It's relationships are really the source of our greatest joy and our greatest struggles.
Yep.
And so central to our lives as believers. When you think about Jesus, when he gave the greatest commandment, that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and
love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Hinged together.
Hinged together. They cannot be separated. I don't think it's because loving your neighbor is more important. Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes in our culture, it's like, what are we doing for other people? It's not that it's more important. It's just how our love for God is expressed is through our love for people, how it's manifested, how people are even going to know.
Yep.
Because they're not in our prayer closet in the morning as we're praying to him. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not in the worship service. But that's how they're going to know.
Yeah.
It's how we...
And to be honest, it's really how God works out our sanctification and becoming more like Jesus. It's the rub on rub, life on life, the things that actually refine us is it doesn't happen if you stay secluded somewhere, you know, and you don't get into relationships and into the mess of relationships. It's where those things that kind of get brought to the surface that need to be worked out.
And I think it's actually one of the greatest evangelistic strategies. When you think that the Word of God says that they're going to know, the world's going to know that we're believers by our love one for another, right? It's not because of how many Bible verses we read, even though that's important, you know, or how many times a day we pray, which is very, very important, but it really is going to be about how we love each other. So this is really like central and critical to our faith walk and our faith journey. Mm-hmm. And when I think about this, I think that these are hard, but relationships aren't always easy. And I think sometimes because we sometimes take our relational cues from what we see on TV or Netflix, that we think and we buy into the lie that relationships should be easy. They should come naturally, right? Like, you know, you meet that person for the first time, there's so much chemistry, conversation is really, really easy. And it's just like, this must be meant to be because, you know, this is just easy and natural, right? But as soon as it becomes difficult, the conversation stops. I find out that person doesn't believe everything I believe, doesn't vote the way I vote, you know, and then conversation might get a little bit, you know, after the honeymoon phase might be a little stretched. A lot of times people bail on relationships as soon as they get difficult.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes we don't think we believe that lie, but all you have to do is ask yourself the question when you're thinking about your marriage relationship or your relationship with your kids, you know, why does it have to be this hard? Have you ever asked yourself that? Yeah. Why is this so hard? Well, it's hard because relationships are hard.
Yeah, right.
And I think we think it's supposed to come naturally, but when you think about it, I have never known anyone who just naturally drifted into a great marriage or naturally drifted into a relationship that just doesn't happen.
Right. It's the truth is, I think the greatest relationships are completely unnatural.
Right.
Because they are supernatural. Mm-hmm. They have to depend upon the supernatural power of God in our lives because we need a greater capacity to love the way God wants us to love, then we are able to love in our human abilities. And so it's unnatural to want to forgive somebody over and over again. That's unnatural, right? That requires a supernatural impartation of the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. It's unnatural to want to put the other person before yourself. I mean, even after we've been married, as many years as we've been married, it is not natural for me to want to do that. Right. It is supernatural. Mm-hmm. It is God's nature. It's not Todd's nature. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm relying on Todd's nature to love you the way and put you first and forgive you, all the things I'm supposed to do, it's going to fall short. Mm-hmm. So again, it goes back to this. It's relying on the nature of God mm-hmm. and allowing his nature and his presence of the Spirit of God to actually influence how we love and how we forgive and how we talk to each other.
Yeah. And because it doesn't come naturally, we have to actually fight for it.
Yes.
This is actually a battle for, you know, for a good relationship, right? And again, I don't think this is just marriage or just parenthood, but, you know, it's not going to be easy. And relationships, having Christ-centered relationships that are going to really, I mean, be the greatest source of joy and fulfillment in our lives and conform us more into the nature of Christ. To have that kind of relationship, we're going to have to fight for that. Right. And this really is like a spiritual battle, right?
It is. Yeah, we've talked about this before just recently about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So even the hard things in relationships and when relationships get hard, because even the best of relationships, the best of marriages, there's times it gets hard or frustrating. You've got to realize we have a real enemy that is wanting to rob, kill, and destroy, wanting to rob you of joy, wanting to rob you your relationship of peace, wanting to rob your future, wanting to rob your marriage, wanting to rob you and your kids from all of it. Mm-hmm. And so once you recognize who the real enemy is, then you can go on the attack and you can actually fight for the joy and the peace and the blessing that God wants to actually bring into your relationship. Yeah. But if you don't realize it's a fight, you're going to lose every time. Yeah. We got to be fight ready.
I know. And, you know, sometimes in relationships, it's really easy to be defensive, right? You know, is be defensive.
Talk about that.
relationships are hard. So even when you've been married a long time.
Keep it real, girl.
Yeah. But, you know, I can be defensive, right? But I think sometimes that I'm defensive because I'm not prepared for the battle. We start coasting a little bit. And instead of being defensive and always reacting to the struggles that come our way or just the fiery darts, like the Word of God says, you know, how do we go on the offense, right? Yeah. And what are some, you know, as a pastor, Pastor Todd, and husband Todd, how can we be more on the offense than we are on the defense?
Right. We're not talking about being offensive. We're talking about going on the offense in the battle here and getting a battle strategy, getting a plan. And I think the biggest thing that we can do as followers of Jesus Christ is just make sure that we're first fighting the right enemy, right? Yeah. That it's not the other person, it's not your spouse, but then actually inviting the person and the power of God into your relationship. Like I'm shocked that so many times we try to go at this alone. We try to do this without inviting daily, moment by moment, the presence, the person, the power of the Holy Spirit into the marriage, into the relationship with the kids, into the home, and actually creating an environment where God is quite at home, creating an environment where God is actually working and can work. And so, you know, one of the simplest ways to do that is just make prayer a natural part of your time together. I mean, spend time praying together. It doesn't have to be a 30-minute prayer meeting.
Right,
it can be, man, you're going to pray together before everybody runs out of the house. I remember my mom every morning as we were leaving for school, when we would, the bus would come, while we were just standing there waiting for the bus, instead of just not doing anything, she would pray over us. And then when we got older, she'd say, okay, Todd, you pray. Now, Noelle, you pray. And so she'd drive us to school and she'd just say, okay, we're going to pray right now before, as we're getting close to the school, before I drop you off. And she'd pray a blessing over us and just made it normal. And invited, when you do that, you invite the presence of God into that relationship. Husband and wife, man, it doesn't have to be, like I said, an hour prayer service.
Right.
But take in 5 minutes at the end of the day or before you head out and just praying for each other, praying with each other. And then, you know, don't leave it there. Throughout the day, pray for one another and what you're doing is you're actually just inviting the Lord into that into that relationship. You and I were talking about how our families grew up a little bit differently, and my parents had, we had family devotions. Now, it wasn't every night we had family devotions, but I can remember, you know, a couple nights a week where we'd all sit down and mom or dad would read a scripture and we'd talk about it for a few minutes. It wasn't weird. It wasn't like, oh, because they're pastors, because at that time they weren't pastors. It was just, they were trying to make talking about God and the things of God and the Word of God normal mm-hmm. in a family setting. Mm-hmm. And so for you, someone's listening, you might want to like just have a couple questions at dinner time that you're mm-hmm. going to say, hey, what's God been showing you lately? Or mm-hmm. what scripture have you been reading? Or, mm-hmm. hey, I've been reading this scripture and I thought how that applied to what we're going through as a family. And yeah. you just bring God into the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. that is going on the offense
yeah.
and creating a spiritual atmosphere in the home. Because here's what I know. If you're not creating a place where the Spirit of God is at home in mm-hmm. your home, by default, you are creating a place where another spirit is at home at wow. your home mm-hmm. by what we're allowing on TV or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, the talk or the way we're treating each other. It's just allowing a different spirit yeah. that is not the Spirit of Christ mm-hmm. in our relationships and our homes. And so as husbands and wives, as parents, we've got to go on the offense mm-hmm. and we've got to set the Spirit of Christ be at home in my home.
Hey everyone, Carissa here. You know, one of my favorite things I love most about the podcast is the conversations I get to have with my friends. From favorite quotes to so good moments to devotionals, Show Notes Plus gives me the opportunity to discuss and dive deeper into the content. It's also a great way to stay up to date on everything happening in sisterhood. Click the link in our show notes so you don't miss out on anything.
You know, I love what you said is that this doesn't have to be complicated, lengthy devotions. It's just finding ways, you mm-hmm. know, throughout the day in normal conversation. And you said, you know, before you walk out the door, pray for 5 minutes. Well, 5 minutes doesn't even always happen for us.
Yes.
We're supposed to, you know, be pastors and spiritual. But there's sometimes like, God bless him.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, help him in this yes. meeting that he's going in.
Yep.
Or we just text each other, mm-hmm. you know, and just say, hey, I'm praying for you mm-hmm. today. Or we'll text a time that we're both praying for the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's really just bringing an environment or an atmosphere of prayer, making it normal and natural,
right.
and letting your kids see that, right?
Yeah, it's really important.
Really important that we don't just leave Jesus at the beginning of the day before we walk out the door, but, you know, inviting him into every area and creating an atmosphere where, you know, where we're able to do that. You know, we talk about going on the offensive, and you just said it's creating an atmosphere in your home.
Yeah, come on.
Where the Spirit of God is quite at home,
yeah.
right? And this isn't easy. I mean, we're going to have to fight for it. But when I think about going on the offense, and we've shared this before, but I go back to just a really beautiful principle in the Word of God. And I think when I think back at our marriage vows, you know, that on that day we said, I do, we had no idea what we just did, right? I said, I do to all these things. I had no idea, you know, yep. in sickness and in health, I'd never had a sick day in my life, you know, mm-hmm. in for richer, for poorer, you know.
We had never been rich.
We had never been rich, but,
only poor.
But we had no college debt. So we, yep. you know, we had
true.
Never had a bill we couldn't pay yet. Now
right.
we've had,
yeah.
we've walked that journey.
Yeah.
You know, now there's been some sickness, but I think the most broken wedding vow is that one that says mm-hmm. that we're going to honor, right?
Yep.
Because you think about when you first get married, you're like, oh, honey, what can I do for
Pookie,
you?
I'll do Pookie, anything for you, anything you want.
You know?
And then
it's like, you know, a month in, you're like, hey, you
yep.
got 2 feet? Go get that drink yourself. I mean, a lot of times we just get casual and comfortable.
Yep.
And it's a vow. I mean, like, we go back and look at that vow. And I think it's there for a reason.
Mm.
You know, when you think about our culture is so void of honor, every show you turn on
yeah.
is disrespecting the yep. dad in yep. the family.
Disrespecting authority.
Disrespecting authority.
Yep. Yep.
Kids, you know, that are ruling the roost.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much dishonor. I mean, you look at every political speech, it's just full of dishonor, right? But even though honor is absent in culture, it's very present in the Word of God. 147 times
wow.
honor is mentioned. And yep. almost all of those times it's mentioned is about relationships with other people.
Mm.
You know, honor.
Yeah.
Your mother and father.
Yeah.
Honor those who are in authority over you. Honor your husband. Honor yeah. your wife. And so when I think about that honor, I really do believe that it is something so absent in culture and so that needs to be present in order to create this atmosphere where the Spirit of God can
yeah.
work. And that's
right.
what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the scriptures in Mark chapter 6, there's a story of Jesus when he shows up in his hometown. In the chapter prior to that, he had been doing miracles. He was raising people from the dead, healing the sick. Lame people were dancing. It was just, his ministry was on fire. And he goes back into his hometown in Mark chapter 6. And when he's there, there are, you know, it's his hometown folks. And they're like, who is this man? You know, isn't this the one who my son went to school with?
Yeah,
or isn't this the
son of
Mary
Joseph.
And Joseph, a carpenter? And it says in that passage that Jesus could not perform miracles there. It does not say he would not. He wasn't offended by what they were saying. It says he could not. Somehow, in that dishonor, that atmosphere of dishonor, Jesus was not offended. He was constrained. And I don't really understand that, but he was not able to do the work that he came to do.
Right.
You know, the miracles that he wanted to perform. And sometimes I think, you know, what supernatural work might we be missing out on in our marriage, in our home, in our relationships, not because of sin, but just because of dishonor. And that word dishonor, it just means to treat someone as common and ordinary in that original language from that scripture.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean to treat them mean or nasty, although that's dishonorable.
Sure.
But just treating someone as common and ordinary. And I wonder if an atmosphere of dishonor disrupts the supernatural, what an atmosphere of honor could unleash in the supernatural, right? Because that word honor in the original language, in the Greek, it actually means to treat as precious and valuable and weighty, to give weight and value to what Jesus valued most.
Right.
And who did Jesus value most?
He
valued people. Yeah. And when we honor, like when there's an atmosphere of honor in our home, in our relationships, in our workplaces, in our schools, that actually unleashes, it creates this environment where the Holy Spirit's quite at home.
Right.
And when he's quite at home is when he does his best work.
That's right. And I think for that to happen, we have to make a choice to choose honor, because honor is not a feeling you have. It's going to be a choice you make, a commitment you make towards the other person. And there is a difference between honor and respect. Respect has to be earned, and there can be things that break down that piece. But honor is when you give that honor to the relationship because of that, your love for that person or for that person's place in your life and that relationship. And so I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to make that choice to actually do things and say things that are going to be honoring.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. It's a choice. And I think it's also one of the most powerful gifts you can give your relationship.
Right.
It's such a gift because honor can't be demanded.
No.
It's something that we can give. It can't be demanded. If I said, you need to honor me, you need to submit to me, you know, that doesn't work so well.
No, I tried it, I think, once, back a couple decades ago.
But honor, it's what you can give.
Right.
It is, it's choosing. There's choices you can make. It's it's choosing in a relationship, and I'll just, you know, unpack marriage relationship first. It's choosing to champion someone's strengths over their weaknesses.
Good.
It's looking to champion their strengths, to talk about their strengths. I know a lot of times, you know, it's so easy, especially in marriage, because we're, you know, that's the closest human to us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in ministry, sometimes, you know, we can be so busy loving and serving humanity that we forget to love and serve the humans that are closest to us, that are right down the hall from us, or sleeping in the bed with us.
Yep.
And when we talk about honor, we talk about choosing to champion the other person's strengths over their weaknesses. And many times, you know, we can easily point out what's wrong. And I've heard someone say once, well, my husband isn't the spiritual leader in our home that he needs to be. And just really berating her husband. I'm going, what is he not doing? Well, he doesn't lead in family prayer and devotions. I said, but what does he do? You know, he works hard and provides for the family. So when you choose to champion, you know, that biblical principle of hard work, you know, and you say, man, kids, I mean, isn't your dad amazing?
Right.
The way that he works so hard to provide for our family. Did you see the way that he just generously gives of his time to other people? And when you choose to call out the God thing and honor their strengths, I really believe that you get, you know, you get what you speak to.
You
get more of what you're looking for, right?
It's about focusing and highlighting the good.
Yes.
What's there that's good than what might you think is missing?
Mm-hmm.
Because if all you do is go, oh, they never do this, or you never do this, and that's all you speak, that's all you see.
Yep, that's
right. But if you actually begin to call out the good and the good and thank God for the good and thank you for always doing this.
Right.
I have witnessed it in our relationship. I've witnessed it in my relationship with other people on team here at church, friendships, that every time we choose honor,
every time
we choose to focus on that, it just brings a different spirit to the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And it also helps us, right, to see the other person the way God sees them and to honor them the way that God would honor them. And, you know, I just think it's such a power tool, right? Mm-hmm. Honor is like a power tool while you're working out your relationship. I think another way that we can choose honor is that we choose not to compare. Mm-hmm. We choose never to compare our spouse with somebody else. I think a lot of times we'll compare, even physical comparison, you know, and a lot of times, you know, what we see in culture, an unrealistic, you know, physical appearance. Sometimes we, you know, we compare our spouse or to that. It's such a killer, right? I mean, when you think about what Theodore Roosevelt said, you know, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
And I really believe that when you compare your spouse to somebody else, you know, look what he does for his wife or what she does for her husband.
Right.
I think it robs your relationship of the joy, right?
Does.
And
when
the joy of the Lord is our strength, that a joyless marriage is going to be a weak marriage. Mm-hmm. And when you compare, it just completely robs the joy out of a relationship. I love this scripture in Song of Solomon 6:8. It says, "There is no one like you on earth. There never has been. There never will be. You are a man beyond compare."
Hey, hey.
Don't you love that?
Yeah, I like that.
Actually says you are a woman beyond compare in the scripture. But comparison is like poison, right? Yeah. And when your spouse knows that there is no one that compares to them, and that we actually have the gift and the privilege, the sacred privilege of helping our spouse become someone they could have never become on their own. That's the up close and personal. That's what we get to do. And there's no one greater than them. I just think it really just adds fuel and honor into the relationship.
That's great. Another way that we can help create a spirit of honor in our relationships is we have to speak words of honor.
Yeah.
So the words that we actually say, they matter so much. And if you've been around Christ Fellowship long, you've heard us reference Proverbs 18:21, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, and you get to choose.
Right.
What's great is that you actually get to choose what words you're going to speak over your marriage, what words you're going to speak over your kids, over your friendships. And those words can be words of honor that actually bring the spirit of Christ and the blessing of Christ and the supernatural work of God into that home.
Yeah, we've seen it. We've seen it work. So choosing to be honorable. We talk about, you know, creating an atmosphere of honor. It's really easy for us, you know, to begin looking at the other person and go, well, my husband doesn't honor me, or my wife doesn't honor me. Mm-hmm. They're not being honoring. And so I think that one of the things that we have to recognize is that, you know, honor starts with us, right? If we're 50% of every relationship we're in. So
that's
if we get better at this, like our relationship's gonna automatically get 50% better, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it starts with being honorable. Like being honorable, and Todd, I would just say this is probably one of the greatest gifts you've given our relationship is that you have been honorable. You've never given me a reason not to trust you, right? I can pick up your phone anytime and read your text or your email.
Yep.
You've not given me any reason. I think that being honorable, honoring our marriage that way, you've never compared me to anybody else. Like you've taken that scripture to heart. I don't think you knew that scripture when we first got married, but you haven't compared me. And that's created this atmosphere. And I remember we were speaking at a marriage conference and a question came in. A guy asked, "Hey, what do I do if my wife won't submit to me?"
Yeah, I remember that.
And I remember.
We both laughed.
We laughed. We're like, I don't know if I want to take that question. You know, what do I do if my wife doesn't submit to me?
What was interesting is he asked the question and obviously he and his wife were both there at the marriage.
Yes, they were both there.
So he asked the question with her sitting there.
Wow. And the only response I could come up with was that, you know, there are some scriptures about submission, you know, that wives submit to their husbands, and there's lots about mutual submission, right? About preferring the other person. But the only answer I could think of was that I have learned so much more about submission by the way you have honored me.
Mm.
Than I have by you telling me to submit to you, which I don't know if you actually ever said that. But I really believe that many times, you know, we think we have a submission problem. We think we have a communication problem. But what we really have is an honor problem.
Yeah.
And when you go back to honor is actually what creates safety and security in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so submission becomes secondary, right? When honor becomes primary, submission becomes secondary, because it's like when there's this atmosphere in the relationship, there is, you know, it is a scriptural principle, submitting to God, submitting to each other, but it certainly becomes a lot more palpable when it's not demanded. It's actually an atmosphere of just really, what can I do to honor this person the way that they've honored me?
Yeah, and just before we hop off of that scripture, just so everybody knows, right before it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord," it says mutually submit to one another.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about a mutual submission to each other. And in that same passage, he says, "Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid his life down for her." So if a man, me as a husband, if I'm doing that, I just need to focus on that. If I'm doing that, we're not going to have a submission problem. Right. We're going to be synced up. We're going to be moving in the same direction.
Right. That's so good. Yeah. You know, I think that going on the offense, this is what we're talking about, is creating this atmosphere of honor so that Jesus and the Holy Spirit can be encountered in our relationships and all of our relationships. And part of that, I think, is that this can't be an occasional thing that we do. Okay, I'm gonna honor today, but not on Tuesday, right? Yeah. It really has to become like a daily habit, a daily discipline. Mm-hmm. And making honor a daily habit, I think, is probably the key to creating this atmosphere and going on the offense in our relationships. And when I think about building a daily habit, I have, a couple of daily habits in my morning devotion time. One of them is that I always try to write down 5 things I'm grateful for, right? Mm-hmm. And one of those every day, I try to make one of those about you.
Yeah.
And so if I write down what I'm grateful for about you, is that later on that day, I'll try to tell you what that is. And so that's one way of trying to make it a daily habit. Many times when I'm having a hard conflict with another person and the relationship struggling, they're another one of my 5. What am I grateful for about that person?
That's good.
And how can I pray for them? So I'll write down what I'm grateful for. And sometime throughout that day, even though we're in a difficult time, I'm going to let them know, either a note or a text or, just a way to honor them, even in a difficult season. Yep. And I have daily declarations, right? And one of these, we've said this a lot, but one of my daily declarations is about our kids. One's about our calling. One's about my relationship with Jesus. One's about you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to honor my husband by the way I look at him, by the way I talk to him, by the way I talk to others about him. I'm going to make him glad that he married me. Hey, and that's my daily habit to declare it. Sometimes, I'm not sure how glad you are, but it's
very glad.
Declarations are aspirational. Yeah,
that's right.
They're not.
Well, you're retraining.
You're retraining.
So if right now you're going like, I don't have a great honor culture in our home or in our family or relationships, then this would be a practice, daily practice you put in place to do this. And because you did daily declarations, I've done daily declarations and written some for the kids and some for leading at church and different things. But one of them is for you. And mine is, ooh, I don't know if
I've not heard this one. I'm very excited. This is hot off the press.
I will love the
people.
Wife of my youth as my most treasured gift. Mm-hmm. I will honor her by the way I speak to her, listen to her, and look at her. She will get my best, not my leftovers.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
For my kids, I'm a good, good father. And I will remember that the greatest gift or investment I can make in my kids is a life in love with Jesus and his word. So those are just a couple of mine.
Wow, I love that. I love that. And really what daily habits do is they make what used to seem impossible possible.
Right.
Right. And because the practice, it actually retrains our brains.
Right.
It redirects our steps.
Right.
And that's what we want to do is for us, for our home, but our prayer is that for you guys that are listening, all the guys and the girls, that that you would have relationships with your kids, with your spouses, with the people that you work with, that are so joy-filled, so filled with the presence of God, that miracles can happen there, that the supernatural can happen there, that you would actually encounter Jesus in ways you never thought possible because of the way that you're creating this atmosphere in the relationships that you have. And so this is what it's all about. And we're so honored that you guys jumped on today on the podcast. Hey, if you couldn't get enough of this conversation, we're actually going to have another collaboration.
Yep.
Next time, we're going to bring in some special guests and talk specifically about parenting and spiritual parenting. And we're really excited about that. So thank you so much for joining us today. And we'll catch you next time on the So Good Sisterhood podcast.
And on Crewcast.
Thank you for joining us today for the So Good Sisterhood podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share this podcast with a friend, or leave us a comment. We hope today's episode leaves you feeling so good.